Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, May 21st. Coming up, we have an update on a £600,000 roundabout redevelopment and the latest for a hunt for an exotic animal that's escaped from a zoo in Sevenoaks. But first, taking a look at our top story, we're continuing to hear from the victims of the infected blood scandal as they react to the release of yesterday's report. The inquiry into the scandal found it was no accident, with catastrophic failures at the hand of successive governments and the NHS. It found 30,000 people were knowingly infected with HIV or hepatitis C because those in authority didn't put patient safety first. Tim Ratton is from Ashford. He lost his dad and uncles after they were given contaminated blood products. He spoke to the Kent Online podcast yesterday after the report was released.
This morning I was angry, I was cross, and then this afternoon it's been really emotional. Tears in your eyes, upset, and just now sort of frustrated that this didn't need to happen. And, you know, obviously even the government now are accepting that this didn't need to happen and it shouldn't have, and it has. And just really blown down now, thinking, why us? Why do we get caught up in this scandal? But relieved that obviously it's there and we can say it's going to go down in history and they haven't covered it up forever. So happy on that boundary.
Do you feel vindicated at all? Because your fight has been a very long one. Do you feel that now you have finally been heard and the truth has really been exposed?
Yeah, because obviously for me, I've been fighting 13 years, and ever since my dad died, and obviously my uncles, obviously it's just been fight. But now for me, I finally feel we can basically have our own time. We can get over this, start rebuilding lives. But I'm really glad that now we have a document. So if anyone ever says, no, you're lying, it's like, there's a document. Read the document. Read the news. Read the history. It's there. You know, so now we can have our time back and just stop fighting, because we should be looking at the photographs of the good memories, not photographs of us on the press always fight. It's tiring.
We heard, I think perhaps most shockingly, about the huge cover-up by not just the NHS, by governments. How did that make you feel when you heard that particular bit today from the report?
That's really what hurt, that just we knew all along that there was such a cover-up because of medical records that we couldn't get, then we could get. You know, even at one stage, I had to pay for medical records myself. And then at one point, the government said, oh, actually, you know, the medical records are free. And I said, do I get a refund? And it's like, no. So when it came out and said, you know, this is a major cover-up, I was just, I hurt.
And what about the compensation, Tim? Because that's been another ongoing issue. How far or how close are you now to getting the compensation?
We are so close to getting there. But obviously today was about, you know, families infected, affected. So tomorrow in the coming days, I'm sure we'll start getting little drips and drabs of what the government planned to do. But I know they said today they now need to look at, obviously, the report, go for it. But I'm pretty sure we will. But for me, yeah, the compensation for what you've been through will be lovely. But the report for me will have pride of place. And obviously, just knowing that I've got that, just to say, this is a story, it wasn't a lie. But I obviously honour compensation, but at the moment, I don't, numbers, facts, figures, I'm not interested today.
Kent Online News.
A woman is still in a critical condition a week after a serious collision in Broadstairs. Emergency crews were called to Westwood Road after a van collided with a pedestrian. A 38-year-old man from Aylesford has been arrested. A court's heard how a man fled to Kent following a crash that left two people seriously injured. Juraj Kojar tried to leave the country via the port of Dover following the 93-mile-per-hour collision in Wolverhampton in February. The 29-year-old from Warsash Close has been been jailed for 4 years and banned from driving for seven. A man's been arrested following a suspected burglary in Snodland. The home in Ponton's Walk was broken into in the early hours of Monday. A silver VW Transporter was stolen and stopped by police a short time later. A 30-year-old has been arrested on bail. A second suspect is still on the run. Three people have been arrested after a teenage girl was reportedly attacked in a park in Ashford. Police were called to Bank Street last night. A 42-year-old man, believed to be armed with a rounder's bat, was detained along with another man and a teenage boy. Police investigating a stabbing and robbery in Ramsgate have charged a man. Officers were called to an address in Camden Square in the early hours of last Thursday and found a victim in his 40s. An area of Boundary Park was also sealed off. A 46-year-old is due in court, while four other people have been released on bail. A man's been arrested just 17 minutes after a motorbike was reported stolen in Gillingham. Police were called to Huttsford Close last Friday night. The vehicle was then involved in a crash in Lordswood. A 20-year-old from Chatham has been questioned. An investigation has been launched after children reportedly beat a wild rat to death in Ramsgate. They were allegedly seen kicking and attacking the rat with a stick in Observatory Way. They only stopped when a Good Samaritan stepped in. The RSPCA is appealing for witnesses. A search has been carried out for a light aircraft that was reportedly seen in trouble near Ashford. Police and firefighters used drones to try and locate it in woodland off Pluckley Road in Charing. Yesterday evening, crews were stood down and no aircraft was found. It's been revealed 8 in 10 cases of petrol theft in Kent over the last 5 years have ended up with no suspect being identified. 971 reports were made to police in the county last year and only 26 resulted in a charge or court summons. Some petrol stations say they're losing thousands of pounds a month. Police say they will always investigate when there's evidence to show someone's taken steps to intentionally avoid payment. Now, this has been one of our most read stories online today. An exotic animal is on the loose after escaping from its zoo enclosure near Sevenoaks. The tayra went missing from Hemsley Conservation Centre on Sunday and has been spotted 4 miles away in West Kingstown. They look similar to weasels and come from Central America. We're being urged to keep an eye out, but not to approach her. Henry Whedon is operations manager at the centre.
On routine checks, our keepers noticed she was missing and subsequently found broken mesh. The damage was unusual and not something the species could typically cause, so we suspect foul play. This also aligns with us having kept tayra at the centre for 6 years and encountering no incidents. Tayra are omnivores and the majority of their diet consists of fruits. They're also a diurnal species, meaning they are active during the day and not at night. They're semi-arboreal too, meaning they can climb. The last confirmed sighting was at 3:30 p.m. Outside Brown's Hatch race circuit, and she was heading towards Farningham. If people see her, they should immediately call 07712 734 556, and if possible, keep her within sight whilst our team travel to the location. Members of the public should not attempt to catch her. We have our equipment and team ready to mobilise immediately. We do ask that the number on our social media posts are only used for confirmed sightings. We appreciate the kind messages and well wishes from members of the public, but unfortunately we are unable to reply to each individually.
Kent Online News.
The MP for Ashford says he's trying to reach out to potential new constituents after a change in voting boundaries. Conservative rep Damian Green will be campaigning in the new areas including Sellinge and Hawkinge at the next general election, but he's lost to other areas like Tenterton to a new seat called the Weald of Kent. Speaking on the Kent Politics podcast, he says there's a lot of work to do.
You obviously got the reasonably safe seat of Ashford back in 1997. Obviously, that was the new Labour landslide. Given the state of the polls at the minute, do you see the same or worse happening again this time around?
You can't tell. I mean, I can read the polls like everyone else, and clearly it's going to be a tough election for us. But as you say, I fought in 1997, which everyone is comparing this with, and we had a majority of 5,500 at the end of that. So I'm working very hard to retain the seat at this time.
Mm. Your own seat has always been pretty safe. I mean, you've got a majority of 24,000, which is big even by conservative terms. But in the recent boundary changes, it's kind of altered its makeup. You've lost some of the villages. I think you've lost Tenterden or a part of it. You must be worried you're going to lose, though.
Well, I've always fought it hard, so it, in a sense, it doesn't make any difference. It's, as you say, all the areas, the villages and Tenterden to the west of Ashford have moved to a new seat called the Weald of Kent. But I gain a lot of rural areas to the east of Ashford, villages like Sellinge and Elam and Liminge and go as far as Hawkinge. So there's quite a lot of new territory to cover, and that's one of my key aims over the next few months. Indeed, I've been doing it for the last few months, of getting to know people and getting to know those areas, which I've not had much to do with before.
Well, electoral calculus, and that's only a guide, has you only on a 30% chance of winning, whereas Labour are on 68%. And you have in the mix, you have obviously the Greens, which are strong in Ashford, and you also have the Reform Party. I mean, where do you think those fringy parties might sort of end up affecting the overall result?
I think all experience tells us that at a general election, people tend to vote far less for the smaller parties than they do in local elections. Because, I mean, for a start, twice as many people vote in a general election as do in a typical local election. So you have a different and much bigger electorate. And people get the point that well, although obviously they're voting for the individual candidate, they're also helping select the government of the day. And in all elections, that tends to mean that the smaller parties do less well at a general election than they do at local elections.
A new report into a Kent Young Offenders Institution has found boys are not getting enough time outside their cells. Inspectors have visited Cookham Wood in Rochester, which recently announced it would soon become an adult-only prison. Concerns have been raised about a lack of progress in tackling violence and poor access to education. We're being advised not to go in the water at a Kent beach because of pollution from harmful algae. The Environment Agency is reporting an abnormal situation at Minas Bay in Birchington. Thousands of dead ragworms and lugworms have been reported on the shore. Kent County Council bosses have been accused of caring more about potholes than future generations after cuts to youth services. The Mayor of Hythe has announced a petition to restore funding after KCC decided to create family hubs instead to save money. It's left youth centres having to make up thousands of pounds worth of shortfall, and some have had to close.
Kent Online News.
There's been a mixed response to a so-called turbo roundabout in Maidstone as work comes to an end. £650,000 has been spent on the Running Horse Junction in a bid to reduce congestion and cut the number of crashes. The redesign is an idea from the Netherlands and stops drivers switching lanes by using colours on the road and cat's eyes. I've been speaking to reporter Cara Simmons, who has the details on this one. Cara, why were the changes necessary in the first place?
Kent County Council decided to change the Running Horse into a turbo roundabout to reduce the number of road accidents and congestion in the area. They said in the past 3 years, 13 crashes had been reported to them, and they said the junction was a key priority.
And what is a turbo roundabout?
The turbo roundabout actually originates from the Netherlands, and it's quite a clever design where the layout prevents drivers from switching lanes. There's these colour-coded segments and cat's eyes on the roundabout, so it forces motorists to sort of pick their chosen exit before they even enter the roundabout to start with.
How have drivers taken to the new layout?
I managed to speak to a number of drivers who actually use the old version of the roundabout as well as the new version. Drivers have had plenty of time to get used to the new layout. It's been about 2 weeks since its completion. It is brand new and it is one of the first of its kind in Kent. But it was a very mixed response that I found from people.
So why do people like it?
Some people were saying that, you know, that the queues heading up to the roundabout, especially from Bluebell Hill or from the Maidstone direction, they used to have to wait half an hour to even get onto the roundabout. That's been cut in half now. And even the new signage helps direct motorists sort of into the right lane. It's very clear. It's very easy to understand. It's certainly helped during rush hour, and people are getting used to it.
And what have people said against it?
I think a lot of motorists are quite unhappy that it's cost £650,000 to install. A lot of them were saying, you know, that could have gone to potholes or used elsewhere. They didn't think it was necessary. And I think a lot of people were saying that there's already been quite a few number of near misses, people not using the roundabout as instructed, people cutting across, and people going over the cat's eyes and cutting people up. And, you know, that is something that the council wanted to reduce. They wanted to reduce the number of crashes, but people are saying, you know, that's not the case.
Thanks, Cara. You can let us know what you think by taking part in our poll at Kent Online. Plans to impose parking restrictions on a Kent High Street look to be scrapped. Traders in Cheriton feared it would have had a negative impact on their businesses. People living in several other nearby streets would have needed permits. However, council papers suggest the idea will be ditched at a meeting next week. A dad from Walderslade has been told he only has weeks to live following a three-year cancer battle. Spencer Reed was first diagnosed with testicular cancer in December of 2021, with the disease spreading to his lungs and stomach. The 35-year-old spent more than a year in remission following chemotherapy, but has now been told by medics that it's returned. A friend has set up a fundraising page to help the family continue making memories.
Kent Online News.
A planned project from Cranbrook that aims to give prisoners a second chance at life is featuring at the Chelsea Flower Show. The glasshouse was founded after empty glasshouses in HMP East Sutton Park were turned into a place where inmates could learn new skills and have the chance of a job in horticulture when they were released. Now their exhibit called The Glasshouse Effect is at the event and shows bird cages decorated with items representing the dreams and hopes of the women currently in custody. Callie Hamilton-Stove is one of the founders.
So it was my co-founder, Melissa, who had the idea, which I thought was completely insane at first. But she had visited the women's prison here in Kent called HMP East Sutton Park, and she had learned about some of the challenges they were facing, that women were being released homeless, that they weren't able to find work and safe living facilities after leaving prison, and that was really leading to reoffending. And so she learned about that and was visiting the prison and saw the glass houses, the greenhouses there that were empty at the time. And she thought they would make an amazing kind of work facility for people to kind of look at horticultural employment and maybe help address some of those issues with helping women find employment and a real second chance after prison.
Quickly talking about Chelsea Flower Show, when did you find out that you were sort of picked to be in it?
We weren't picked, bizarrely. So for Chelsea, we got a call from Malvern Garden Buildings, and they are the sponsor of the houseplant area at Chelsea and have been since the beginning, 5 years ago. They had heard about us, and they called us and they asked us if we would like to have a houseplant studio there. And to be fair, we have a lot of work here generally, and our focus is not on things like Chelsea. So we really had to think about it. Because our corporate work takes a lot of time, and plus we have our retail website and sending out plant orders and our shop. And so we really had to think about it, actually, bizarrely. But they gave us sponsorship for that, and they've offered us an amazing, beautiful greenhouse. And it was in January, so it wasn't very long ago, maybe February even. Might have been February, I think it was, that they first called us and we first had a meeting. And we just thought, we really want to share our story and we really want to grow our impact. And we felt like looking at this opportunity of them giving us the greenhouse and the sponsorship gave us the opportunity to really reach more people and hopefully help more women.
Ree has taken part in the program.
I didn't realize that I would actually love houseplants as much as I do. It's just the fact that I think when you're in prison, everything from nature is removed from you. So suddenly when you have access to it again, it suddenly has a new life. It's, you see things that you never saw before. You smell things that you never smelt before. And I can even now know that I've made the compost right just by the feel or the smell of it. So again, their skills that have developed because it was removed from me.
And how has this sort of scheme helped you after your sentence was served? How does it sort of help the transition into sort of real life, as you could call it?
Since joining the Glasshouse Project, I was serving, and that was massive for me because it allowed me to redevelop skills that I'd forgotten, like using public transport, just having the confidence to be out amongst people. And I also think that when women go to prison, it's often not the lack of freedom that affects them the most. It's the lack of privacy, dignity and value. And being able to be part of the Glass House gave me dignity because I was a commuter like everybody else. It gave me privacy because I could come down to the Grown facility and I could maybe play a song that I haven't been able to play because it was too emotional, and I had the privacy to do that. And the value, I'm keeping things alive. So if initially the only value was to the plants, that was good enough. And now obviously I have value because I have transferable skills which have been identified. All of this from joining the program, they work with you towards release. So everything that you do is building up to release, and the confidence that that gives you, and the fact that you're back in society, you're a productive person within society. And I think that because of our clients in London are so supportive, we can have normal conversations, just those normal interactions that perhaps we haven't been able to have whilst in prison.
It'll be on display until next Saturday.
Kent Online News.
A Kent holiday park has been given a 5-star hygiene rating 2 months after inspectors found a mouldy fridge and raw meat next to ready-to-eat food. Park Dean Resorts' Romney Sands Holiday Village was previously given 2 stars following a visit in March. Inspectors have since been back and acknowledged improvements. A Kent-based campaign group's been awarded £50,000 for their work to stop animal testing. It's estimated more than 100 million animals worldwide are still used in lab experiments every day. Animal Aid in Tunbridge are helping to raise awareness and find alternative testing methods. A Kent Aquapark has been given the go-ahead to build an artificial lake and camping area so they can host international events. Bosses at White Mills in Sandwich say they want to host wakeboarders from all over the world. A new training lake will be created along with space for tents, caravans and campsite facilities. And a repair cafe in Folkestone has been awarded funding so it can continue supporting the community. A group of volunteers meets once a month to help fix items like hoovers and garden trimmers to reduce waste and save local families money. They'll receive £1,300 from Infinium so they can buy new equipment and expand the range of things they can fix.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and three of Gillingham's youth scholars have been handed professional contracts. Goalkeeper Tate Holtham, midfielder Stan Skipper and forward Josh Bayliss have all signed with the League Two club. Gillingham Director of Football Kenny Jackett said over the last 2 years they've been consistent performers in the youth team and will be working hard over the next 12 months so they can be ready for first team consideration. And briefly in cricket, Kent have lost to Somerset in their latest county championship match. It was an 8-wicket defeat at Taunton, which has left them second from the bottom in the Division 1 table. Kent have only had 1 victory out of 6 matches so far this season. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.